I'm Chris Harwood. This is live from Studio A. We have in the studio today a pleasure to have with us Wes Urbaniak, who's been traveling through town on his way now, I think, over to Wisconsin, then back to Minneapolis and other places in the upper Midwest. He's got a couple of other friends with him in the studio as well, David Banuelos and Matt Riegel, playing as well. So good afternoon, fellas. Great to have you here. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
I'm looking forward to talking with you about a lot of things, including the whole luthier side of your life experience. But
beauty.
I think I'd really love to start off hearing some music. So let's start off with a song.
Perfect. Yeah, this song is called Talking with the Stars. Here I stand and I am grateful for all these burdens I have known. They taught my bones how to stand here. They teach my mind about my soul. Through all these storms that I have weathered, plight upon the land I might roam, I am free like you, dear. I am free like you. In front of the other, I'm not a man to stand still. The long walk calls my name, dear. The long walk calls my name. The long walk calls my name, dear. And never could I stay. 'Cause I am a soldier for life. I am a soldier for the living. Trying hard to do here what's right. I'm grateful for the life that I've been given. I'm careful not to think my mind more divine. Righteousness is never good for thought. The imaginary details that had me bound up there inside began to fray and some began to rot. I am free. I am bound to the long walk. Carry all these pockets full of ashes, a mind full of seeds that I might sow. I shall turn out a garden, I shall weed out my soul. I shall know the reaper's fate, I shall know it as my own. I will shore up my foundations, my character I will build of stone. I am a soldier for life. I am a soldier for the living. Trying hard to do here what's right. I'm grateful for the life that I've been given. I'm careful not to think my mind more divine. Righteousness is never good for thought. The imaginary details that had me bound up there inside began to fray and some began to rot. I am free. I am bound to the long walk. I've been talking to the stars. I've been talking to the moon. I've been deepening my soul. I've been building up my own. I've been rising from the fall. I've been climbing on. And I set my teeth upon all the madness of it all, it all, it all. And I've been talking to the stars.
I've been talking to the moon. I've been deepening my soul. I've been building up my home. I've been rising from the fall. I've been climbing on and on. And I set my teeth upon all the madness of it all. It all. I am a soldier for life. I am a soldier for the living. Trying hard to do here what's right. I'm grateful for the life that I've been given. I'm careful not to think my mind more divine. Righteousness is never good for thought. Imaginary details that had me bound up there inside began to fray and some began to rot. I am free, I am bound to the long walk. I am free, but I am bound to the long walk.
Nice. It's Wes Urbaniak here live from Studio A. You've traveled in from Montana.
Yes, yep.
This is a, seems like a round trip of a couple of months you're out on the road.
Actually, 3 weeks this run, and then we go home for a while, and then, yep, just all year. This is what we'll be doing.
Whereabouts in Montana?
We are from a place that, up until we left, refused to acknowledge that it snows in the wintertime. we're from Billings, Montana.
Okay.
No. Yeah, and it's just been a really mild winter.
Yeah.
And then the day we left, it was like, oh, we're going to send you off with some snow, and now we got some snow here, too.
It's been the same here, too, though. We almost had a dry Christmas, which is hard to imagine in Duluth. So
yeah.
I certainly know you guys are far enough away from the mountains that snowfall is certainly part of the life and the bitter cold. So.
Yeah.
Wow. Billings. Okay.
That's good.
That's right out there in the – is it – I'm trying to get my Montana geography straight. Is it sort of the southern middle of the
– Right. Yeah, pretty much – right in the middle of the state in south.
Yeah.
And it's sort of Billings is kind of cool because it's like 45 minutes to the mountains, 45 minutes to like good river fishing and some lakes, and 45 minutes from the badlands where you're more than likely going to run across a snake that wishes to bite you.
Yeah. I was visiting some friends in Montana, and we didn't go out anywhere without him having the rifle in the back of the truck just in case we got too close to a rattlesnake.
A stray kangaroo somehow runs across.
Kangaroo?
Why is there a kangaroo in Montana?
Why is there a kangaroo in Montana?
I don't know. Maybe it jumped off the airplane.
Kangaroos in Montana.
Qantas used to land at Missoula. Things happen, right?
Huh. Things happen.
Well, it's great to have you guys here, and I have to say that too bad we don't have a live video feed, because really one of the interesting things, and reading up about everything that you do, which is a lot of fun things, but the whole luthier side of things too, and I'm looking at three really gorgeous instruments, and I'm assuming that you had a hand in building all of these.
Yes, I built all of these. It's been a dream for a long time to have a group of guys that I play with that each have an instrument that I made in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And each of their instruments, these two are both one of a kind. They're the only ones that look like them and function quite like they do.
Now, the bass has natural sound holes. Looks like that's sort of a found wood idea. The acoustic properties of it's an acoustic bass, I'll point out. He does have it plugged in, but it's got an acoustic sound hole that really is just the hole in the board naturally there, it looks like.
Yeah, and they were knots. And to bookmatch a knot is always an interesting process. Huh. And sometimes knots aren't strong enough.
Right.
And it was like, when you find them, and you hold on to them. And if there's enough room in the board, you can you can pretty much glue them together, bookmatch them.
Did that shape of the hole sort of dictate the shape of the instrument as well then?
No, the shape of the instrument came first. And then it was really, really careful measurement about getting them to fit. It was right on the line. And I actually wasn't sure if the instrument was going to make it or not.
Hmm.
And it was... When I glued the sides on, it was very much on the edge of what was available in material.
Now, this brings up the other interesting thing about it is where you source your wood. And You've got a statement in your website about the centuries, decades, I suppose, especially the 20th century of the forest sort of depletions, especially for the rare woods they use, the rosewoods and the you know, the mahoganies and all those things. And that's a real problem worldwide. So you have a different approach.
That it's a it's a major problem, especially instrument grade material. Like I'm what they would consider a wood heretic in the luthier world. A lot of those guys and gals that are building, they'll only use specific woods and only specific quality. And I pretty much am like, oh, that's pretty. I think I'm going to use that. Hmm. And that's kind of what happens a lot. And I learned a long time ago that the majority of sound is the builder. It's not the wood, it's the builder. Hmm. And yeah, woods have a lot of character and characteristics and like qualities about them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of physics involved just in their makeup, but yeah, it's largely the builder. And then the inside of all of the instruments that we're playing are from 100 plus year old pianos, and like a lot of those pianos no longer play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the wood's torrified. It's like perfect. It's all spruce.
It's been seasoned too. So it's
and
years of the resonance in there has gotten all those.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so all of our instruments are from 1905 to 1915 pianos, soundboards.
So what almost could be actually old growth wood that you've sort of repurposed.
Right. Right. Yeah. And a lot of the wood is leftover stuff or scraps that I find or from pallets. Sometimes it's like, man, that's a really nice piece of wood on a pallet. So, yep, anything where we can. Like sometimes I'll look in the free ads, and if people are put a tree in the free ads, I'll go and cut it down, and I'll fell the tree, and then I'll process it all the way to instrument.
Now, how long does it take from a cut tree to an instrument? Does it have to dry for a few years?
Right.
What do you have to do to?
Yeah, usually I cut them and let them lie for a year, and then I'll slab them and put them in a kiln or something, and let them go for a while longer. And wood seems like it's more living when it's dead. Even, you know, it never stops moving. It's always breathing in what it can and exhaling when it can.
Yeah.
Based on the environment.
Anybody who has a lot of wood in a house, especially up here in the winter region, we know that for sure. The house sings every winter when the colds come in, and I start to hear lots of it.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting, you've got of course, you're on a six-string guitar.
Seven.
I'm looking for the seventh. Oh, look at that.
It's double. It's here.
Down in the bass end. All
right.
Fantastic. Yep. There is a seventh. I see it now. And the bass is an acoustic bass, fretless fingerboard, but just a lovely looking color too. That's fascinating. And now I forgot what you've called this. It's not a mandolin. It's not a ukulele. It's an 8-string uke.
Right.
What was the name you used for that again? A mandolin.
Or a ukulele sometimes, but it does have the ukulele tuning. And you want to up your mic. And, this instrument was sort of, usually they don't look quite like this one. And I thought like, okay, every time you get to like a new stage in building where you're like, man, I'm doing really cool work, then it's time to build an instrument that's sort of one of a kind. And, this instrument was like, okay, what can I do? And it has some really, really crazy features.
You can see a slight hourglass original concept, but then it's been shaved in a bit. It looks like there's a sound hole upper side of the instrument.
Yep, a sound hole in the upper side, and then the back is lifted off of the body as well in some areas, and that creates more sound. And then the neck joint is actually this waterfall cascading joint. So it goes in on one side, but then out and over the body on the other side.
Oh, fantastic.
And yeah, it's a pretty gnarly little instrument.
Now it makes me wonder if we're miking this incorrectly. We just got it right in the front. Like that's the place you ever always put a mic. Maybe we should have attached it to your t-shirt so it could come right down in. That's really cool. Wow. Yeah. So how did you start that? How do you start it as a luthier? Where do you go to begin doing that? Did you just pick it up on your own? Did you have to work with somebody, apprentice? How does that work?
Well, if you want to do custom work like I wanted to do, I wanted to build what I wanted when I was building it. And so there are schools that you can go to, and you can work at big companies and factories if you just want to be a luthier, if you just want to build instruments.
Well, Gibson's, of course, just down the highway from you guys, a bit over in Bozeman. It used to be. So.
And the other, it's difficult to get into custom work because a custom builder usually doesn't want to train competition. And so and they hold their secrets pretty tightly. It's sort of like fishing, where you go to the lake and you're like, oh, are they biting? And they're like, ah, kinda. Well, what are they biting on? Ah, stuff. It's like,
yeah, never bring them to your favorite part of the river. That's yours.
So, well, yeah, and you can, you know, there's a lot to know. I always tell people, if they're interested in building, there's 100 variables, pick 10 and focus really a lot on 3. Okay. Because there's too much to try to cover in total. So pick the ones that you're most passionate about and develop that.
Well, you obviously like experimentation. You're not just building guitars. You're trying other instruments. You've got not just these three, but there are other types of instruments shapes and other styles of instruments.
Yeah, I've built a couple of stand-up basses. Well, I think they're called upright, but I call them stand-up because when I play it, it's funny. So, tenor guitar, banjos, mandolins, octave mandolins, mandocello, just a whole range of strange instruments in between, shapes. And I've experimented with so many shapes at this point that I've sort of refined my numbers and what I do and what I do build now. And,
I'm assuming, we should get back and have you play in a minute here too, but I just want to ask one more question about that. Is there's a relationship that a musician has with their instrument, and sometimes, you know, there's one instrument that's special to them. And I assume when you started, there are probably some instruments you've made that those were probably mistakes, or those were a little too rough, and you learned something, and the next time you build one, it got better and better and better.
Yeah.
But I assume now, that especially because you've built these, there's probably a stronger bond between you and the instrument than there would be if you just found something in a shop.
Yeah, they're a very, very strong bond. And that's one of the things we talk about all the time is when you have an instrument that looks and feels like you look and feel, like it's sort of like being able to wear the clothes we want to wear, and like they look like us, and we begin to identify with them, and people recognize, like, especially at home, people are like, oh, we know where that came from, or like it becomes an identity as well. It's not just an instrument anymore.
I'm just trying to think about instruments that look like you. Found wood with holes in it. Is that what you guys look like? Found wood with holes. But
that's what we look like.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's why I never put the knots in the headstock. I'm like, we're not knot heads. We're
you need that like a hole in the head. Right, exactly. Cool. Well, let's hear another song.
Cool. We're going to play a jam for you guys called Governed by Tides.
Wes Urbaniak here on KMD.
Best lies I've told, I told them to myself, so I'm innocent. Free from all I've done, a single victim in disguise, hiding from the life that I could have. Who's to blame? Who can I frame? Can I pin my failure on? Can I grant my reasoning why it's not me? Or who's to blame? Like death, it comes. My cowardice, it fails, and my bravery ignites. I am fire, I am fire. I am anything I want, I am fire. Dang it all away, I give it air. These lies are governed by tides. It takes and it gives, and I'm aware of this. The emptiness is equal to the fullness while in strife. So don't be afraid that the saddest days will remain. So don't be afraid that the saddest days will remain. Fighting in the hearts of all I knew, of all I know. I knew it well, I knew it well. My own heart was troubled deeply too. I knew it well, I knew it well. So I set all these lies upon my head and on my back. I bore the weight of all the choices I refused to make. I give it up. Afraid of you like I was. Not do the things just because I am. But I am not now, neither shall I be again. Yours, yeah. Measure of our timelines, these times are quickly changing. Our hearts are unsettled, uncommitted, unrefined. What was sought for the sanctity of goodness and good depth is exploited, corrupted, thinned of its breadth. Oh, I wonder why it has been allowed to come to this. Oh, I wonder why it has been allowed to come to this. Well, I know these lives are governed by tides. It takes and it gives, and I'm aware of this. The emptiness is equal to the fullness while in stride. So don't be afraid that these saddest days will remain. So don't be afraid that these saddest days will remain. So don't be afraid that these saddest days will remain.
Wes Urbaniak, live from Studio A here on 103.3 KUMD. Songwriting, that's something you do as well. I mean, you seem almost like a Renaissance man in a way. You've got a lot of irons in the fire. And so for a lot of musicians, you know, you've one thing is enough. How do you pace yourself? Where do you focus most of your energy, or do you just have to refocus from time to time?
Most people don't know that I have identical twins that united to wear the same
clothes. See, that's how it works. Yeah.
No, I think that sometimes I get overwhelmed and I take a lot on. Sometimes I feel like an hour is the equivalent of 7 hours. Like, there are just days where I get so much work done. Mm-hmm. And then there are days that are very much the opposite and they're really heavy and I have to decide. And one of the phrases I use on this trip and in my life a lot is, the reminder that somebody who's kind of doing something is kind of doing something. And once in a while, I have to subtract things from my list, and I have to tell my curious side of my brain, like, stop it. Stop. Just don't take anything else on for a while.
I have to write that down. It's useful advice because certainly it's so easy to get distracted. But I think that curiosity is probably what's driven you, of course, to do all these fun things anyway. So, but as you say, sometimes you got to put them aside.
Oh, my but poor parents. I lit our house on fire, I think, 3 times as a kid.
3 times.
But not playing with matches, playing with electricity and microscopes. I mean, it was really exciting. So I apologize.
Well, the point is that you learned. I think the third time I think was probably when you said, "All right, I know what I did wrong," and you know the first two you can kind of say strike one, strike two, but uh-huh. after that,
uh-huh. now I have a fire extinguisher in all of my shops and in my yeah. house at all times. Yeah, because I'm still like, okay, what happens when we do this? Like one of the things we do now, and I do with my kids, is we either split water, crack water, and you know fill up balloons and blow them up, or we one of our favorite things to do, they're called Lichtenberg figures, and you use sodium bicarbonate and water, and you know wipe it on wood, and then we use these step up transformers to create things that look like trees, but it's with electricity, and they have high arcs, and
wow,
and it's so fun, and the kids like will just, they don't even know they're doing science, they think they're doing cool stuff, and I'm like, yeah, it's totally cool. See,
from a selfish point of view, I realize I have to step up my fatherhood game a bit here. You've got some skills that I just don't use at all. So that's great. That sounds like a lot of fun. But again, you've got a shop with lots of fun things to play with in there.
Yes.
So. Certainly, yep. Plenty of wood.
Yeah.
So you guys are on the road. Are the three of you usually the trio? Do you travel with other musicians most of the time? Is there a larger band when you're at home? How does that work?
No, this is the trio's first time on the road. What we've been doing is I've been off and on solo musician, had some other bands and some stuff, you know, just like trying to find the right feel, trying to find the right guys. And Matt normally plays the upright bass, and I was like, hey, how about you play an instrument that is, you know, a tenth of that size? And he was like, sure. And so yeah, one of the things I hear from Matt a lot is like, my fingers feel squished together.
Yeah.
And but he's been, so he had never played the instrument before, and he was like, I'll do it. And this was last August, and I said okay, because
wow.
I want to tour, and I want to mm-hmm. you know, I want to go back to touring, and I'm really missing some of the stuff on the road and playing music. And he said, cool, I'm down for that. And then David is in 379 bands.
Well, only three.
Oh, I mean only three.
Sometimes it feels like 379, I'm sure.
Well, it was up to six or seven over last year, but yeah, I've trimmed it down a little bit. I like to stay busy.
He has a miracle ear, though, and he can just immediately sit in and tell you what chords you're playing mm-hmm. and play. Like, so he's just that fantastic. And like his ability, he gives us lessons in the van. We ask him questions. And so Matt and I are getting the opportunity to learn a lot of theory and a lot of,
they're doing great. Don't let him.
Yeah, wasn't that Garth Hudson's deal when he joined the band? I think in the mid 60s
so,
with the Hawks,
yeah.
He said, yeah, I'll do it if you buy me a Lowry and I get to give the guys music lessons.
Yeah. So that was, I got a bass. So
there you go.
I'm pretty happy. Yeah, this
right.
It's amazing. So
a one of a kind bass, no less. So.
For real.
Uh-huh. It's got some stuff. I can't wait to get home and build him a slightly better bass. But yeah, it'll be nice.
Well, to my ear, I have to say, so far it sounds lovely on the air, so it's not it's nothing to shake a stick at, that one. So wow.
Unless you're trying to start a fire and shake plenty of sticks at it.
I wouldn't shake a burning stick at it. No,
I don't recommend it.
No smoking in this room. Quickly, the album, It's a double album, Hippo and Crate and the Adelphos. Is that
right.
Were they recorded at the same time and you just decided to merge them onto one larger disc? How's that?
Yeah, I realized last year that what I had to say to wrap up this portion, because I write concept albums, so each album by itself is a concept album, and then it belongs to a global concept that hovers over the top of all the albums. And one of the things that was really important to me was making sure I said everything and then I closed that chapter of my life. I was like, man, I'm ready to be done with like this part of it, which was a boat upon the sea of everything else. I was ready to moor the boat and really find some new foundations as I'm getting older and I'm seeing things a little bit differently and I'm a little bit slower and a little bit more thoughtful. And I'm really seeking like a lot more depth. And I thought, you know, I'd like to record all this content, put it on these albums, and then move forward into something called the long walk. And
yeah,
that's where we're at kind of now.
And that first song you played is
long walk. Yeah.
So is that the next project? Is that?
Yep. So most of the stuff I write now, the long walk deals a little bit like with addiction kind of stuff. I noticed how much like having a dream and being driven mad sometimes by my dreaming mind, how I'm always going, and how it must seem to people. And then for some reason, addiction kept coming up in my life over the past year. And I think it's becoming really like present in a lot of people's lives and in heavy ways. And it's really affecting our country right now. Yeah. And I realized that there was like this kind of link between how I lived in the streamer's mind, where I always had more to do. Like I was always working, going. Like I was just always with the throttle wide open. And the long walk then is like the concept of like needing two hands to do the work, like letting go of this stuff that's really restricting me and holding me back, and really starting to make the journey, you know, the long walk journey, which is where we're going, where we're trying to actually get to, not just floating anymore. Just this is where we are.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you're in Duluth right now. Next, you're in Minneapolis tomorrow night.
Yep.
You are then headed to La Crosse, Wisconsin for a couple of nights or a couple of shows. No, it looks like just one show. It's listed twice on the website, I see there.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Madison, we're heading to Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, then back this way through Michigan, then Kansas, and then toward home eventually for
toward
a few weeks.
Yep, and then we'll go back out. We kind of get March a little bit to ourselves. We have a lot of dates at home when we get there or in that area. And then we have one date that we're really looking forward to. It's just called the Tiny Boxes Show, where we all play the ukulele, which is a ton of fun, actually, and it's fantastic. And
it's maybe the most fun I've ever had rehearsing for anything. It's really...
Right.
It's pretty great.
And it's cute. Ukuleles are cute.
And you can play them on really tiny stages with several people. So,
Yeah, there's plenty more space.
That's the next stage. We'll get like 20 people playing ukuleles.
Once you build enough of them, sure. Well, let's hear one more song.
All right, we're going to play a song called Here I Go, which is the last song from the Adelphos. And it's sort of what leads into the long walk. Here I go, all this madness is behind me. Into death is where I lean, it's where you'll find me. I'm only a memory to you. Grown in love and hate, you knew me well. But I'm only a memory to you. Dirt, it calls for my body. Heaven calls for my soul. And my children call for my property. Nothing here was ever mine to own. Nothing here was ever mine to own. This time I've been watching, I've grown. The skin upon my bones, it wears loose. All I have is still not much to give. Whatever it might be, though, I'll give it all to you. I will give it all to you. I will give it all to you. I All these words, you're confusing up the meanings. Love is fierce, it can be kind, but it is fierce. Hate is cruel, but it's a necessary evil. To not know both is to deny each the other. When you know them, you'll see that they are brothers.
In your mind, your disagreements. I can see how you don't think that I can see it well enough. I can see it how you try to rise above it. No, I don't see it like you do. No, I don't see it like you do. No, you don't see it like I do. In this time I've been watching, I've grown old. And the skin upon my bones, it wears loose. All I have is still not much to give. Whatever it might be, though, I'll give it all to you. In this time I've been watching, I've grown old. The skin upon my bones, it wears loose. All I have is still not much to give. Whatever it might be, though, I'll give it all to you. I will give it all to you. I will give it all to you. The dirt, it calls for my body. Heaven calls for my soul. And my children call for my property. Nothing here was ever mine to own. 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 In this time I've been watching, I've grown old. The skin upon my bones, it wears loose. All I have is still not much to give. Whatever it might be, though, I'll give it all to you. In this time I've been watching, I've grown old. The skin upon my bones, it wears loose. All I have is still not much to give. Whatever it might be, though, I'll give it all to you. I will give it all to you. I will give it all to you.
Wes Urbaniak live here in Studio A with David Banuelos there on the harmony vocals and bass guitar, acoustic bass guitar, and Matt Riegel on the mandolele. Great to have you guys here. Billings got a lot to be proud of, so I'm really grateful you guys stopped in, especially because you played in Duluth a few days ago but stuck around for a while. So
yeah. Really glad. We had some time and... Yeah, and real fast, too, I just want to give a shout-out to my wife, who really, like, being away from home is hard, and she does, like, this fantastic job of taking care of our house and doing a lot of stuff for us while we're out on the road. Mm-hmm. She's constantly has her nose in the computer, like, finding stuff for us or doing work, making contacts, and really helping us out. And it's... Man, if you're somebody with a dream, like, surround yourself with people that support what you're doing, and you'll go a lot further, a lot faster, and be a lot happier.
It's very valuable. No, it's wonderful to have that support. Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, fellas. Tomorrow you're at the Warming House down in Minneapolis, and all points east from there, and then back around. So good luck.
Yeah,
hopefully,
thank you so
hopefully the road continues to treat you well, and the snow I don't think is bad enough to hold you here. So I think you can get south. So.
Right. Yeah. And we have chains for the van, but mostly, yeah. And yeah. we were talking about what it would look like with these guys pulling it down the road. Cheers. Thank you so
little
much.
Little slow, but you'll get there eventually. So, well, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio A, produced by Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen, and funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, with Urbaniak, along with David Benuelos and Matt Riegel. To check out upcoming guests or listen to previous sessions, you can go to KUMD.org, click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.